Welcome to Learned Lag, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George and I are both in Zephyr A. This is season 32 for George and season 28 for me.
This is day 20 of season 100, as we enter the last full week. Question 1 asks us for a word linking the name of a Grand Ole Opry comic and a band that feuded with Ticketmaster in the 90s.
Yeah, so the comic, just probably mostly for the order of the question, came to me first. I was pretty sure this was Minnie Pearl. And you would often see her on Hee Haw, I think, as well. Mm-hmm. Which I believe is broadcast from the Grand Ole Opry, I want to say.
I think that's where it got its origins, at least, yeah.
Okay. And so she was a familiar face on syndicated TV in the, I don't know, late 70s, early 80s, I would guess. And then the band that feuded with Ticketmaster, again, took me a few seconds, but I thought, it's not Minnie something. It's something about Pearl, and it's Pearl Jam. And so I figured that Pearl must be the common word, so that's what I put down.
Same. I thought, the $1.98 hat, that's Minnie Pearl, and then the band Ticketmaster, yeah, that's Pearl Jam.
Right.
That was kind of a dual-barreled Gen X question for us at the beginnings and towards the end. That one was hard to defend, just because, like, both of my opponents had really low overall pop culture, many categories at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But these were kind of two fairly separate things that you could maybe logic your way into if you knew one of them.
True.
So it was a tough one to defend, but
sure. And Pearl, of course, is the correct answer. Question 2 asks us to name the fourth largest investment bank in the U.S. that was termed too big to fail
during the 2008 financial crisis. In particular, right. It gives us some more background on the too big to fail expression itself. But my first thought on this was Lehman Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was one of the banks that collapsed, and I thought it was like the first one that everything else kind of collapsed around it.
Sure.
As it, you know, being very heavily leveraged with other financial institutions and such. So I was fairly certain that it was Lehman Brothers. Wasn't sure whether they spelled out brothers or went with bros, but I figured if I spelled it out, I wouldn't be wrong. So for lack of a better, a firmer answer, at least, I went with Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, that was also the first bank name to come to mind for me. And I did try to think a little bit, would it be something like, you know, and I think of big banks that were extant at that time. I also think of like Chase Manhattan, but I think number one, they still exist. And Lehman Brothers just jumped out at me so quickly with this that I thought that that had to mean something. I remember living through this time. I don't think I was paying as good of attention to some of these headlines, but I thought that at least Lehman Brothers, which I slightly misspelled, was a plausible answer. And I also couldn't think of, you know, have I heard kind of what happened to them since very much. Not particularly. Like, mm-hmm. I can't think of any recent, you know, headline skimming that has mentioned them in any way in passing. And if I pause to think about it now, even if I look back years, I can't recall Lehman Brothers being in the news. So I thought that was as good an answer as any, so that's what I put down.
How did you spell it?
With an extra N.
Oh, Lehman.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why. Okay. I thought it had to.
Reasonable. But it was Lehman Brothers. Indeed. Brothers spelled out and with only one N.
Right.
Question 3 asks us for the name of an owl who recently escaped from the Central Park Zoo and smashed into a residential building in New York and kind of inspired or renewed the push to pass the Now Feathered Lives Also Count Act.
Right. So this is one that I know I had read a number of headlines about, and it was kind of an internet sensation that this the bird escaped the zoo and sort of, you know, got free, but then had a very tragic ending to its life. And so I was like, I know this one. I'm going to think of it. And I tried to let it go as much as I could, but of course I kept, you know, this is probably the one that I, you know, didn't have the answer quite as readily to mind as the others. And so I tried to let it go, but I was still like, it's something, it's a couple syllables, it ends in O or co or something like that. And, you know, then I kind of rethought about the Feathered Lives Also Count Act and went, oh, FLACO. so this is Flacco. And that was the, as soon as that occurred to me, I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely it. And I'm not exactly sure how the bird acquired that name in particular. But, you know, it definitely clicked for me as soon as I recognized how the legislation was titled after it. So I put down Flacco.
Yeah, I think I was remembering Flacco before I noticed the same thing. But I think it had perched, so to speak, in my brain a little firmer for no good reason.
Yeah.
But that was just one of those things that comes into my head sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I am glad that it had the new name of the act, because I think I might have thought it was Falco.
Oh, fair point.
But with the Feathered Lives Also Count Act, I definitely figured out, oh no, that's it. It must be Flacco, because otherwise that wouldn't make any sense. And you could easily do the same thing with Falk if you wanted to.
Sure.
So yeah, this was just, like you said, it was on the internet a little bit. I guess I follow enough people in New York that I probably caught it on Blue Sky and a few references to it here and there. And, so, yeah, I said Flacco.
And that was the correct answer. And I mean, it made some national outlet headlines too, I think, like CNN, you know. Question 4 asks us about what country features the regions of Bohemia and Moravia.
So I have known for a long time that Bohemia was in then present day Czechoslovakia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I picked that up, but that was a thing that I knew, that when people referred to Bohemia, they meant Czechoslovakia when they were talking about the actual European place and not just kind of, you know, a far flung area like Timbuktu. Sometimes
sure.
Bohemia would be used as kind of that. And of course, Bohemian is very rarely used, at least in English, to mean someone from that area.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, some sort of free spirit or hippie kind of thing. But what I didn't know was, when the Czecho part split from the Slovakia part, which one got Bohemia.
Oh.
So I won't say I flipped a coin, but I pretty much just said, well, I'm going to go with Czechia. And if it's Slovakia, well, oh well. I guess I just, you know, didn't, it just never sank in. I learned it at just the wrong time in history when you could confuse the two.
Sure.
So, yeah, I figured this is Czechia. Flipped a coin.
Yeah, this is the point in the podcast at which I would like to proudly announce that I finally learned a thing. And that is the fact that Bohemia is in Czechia, in the Czech Republic. And it's been in my, it was in my brain a long time that it was a place in Germany, but I think I was conflating it with Bavaria. And I finally have sorted those two threads out and disentangled them. Partly because Bohemian glass and Czech glass and crystal and things like that, you know, these are things that are at least beadwork adjacent, if not directly so. Czech crystal certainly is, you know, another term for rhinestones, and they make lots and lots of very sparkly beads in Czechia. It's a place I probably enjoy a great deal to visit, in fact, because of that, and I'm sure it's also delightful for other reasons. But I, you know, as soon as I saw Bohemia and less so Moravia, that's something that I have less of an association with, although hopefully this question will help to cement that a little bit too. But I really kind of, after getting frustrated with myself for not, you know, kind of clarifying that in my own head, I had finally set down in my brain that Bohemia is in Czechia or the Czech Republic. And so I put down Czechia for this one.
And that was correct.
Thank goodness. Thank you.
So I have no idea what constitutes Slovakia to this extent. Prague is in Czechia. So like everything I've ever heard of that was in Czechoslovakia is now in Czechia.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether Slovakia just doesn't have anything or whether they just kind of hung out and were like, okay, we're going to let the other guys get all the press for, you know, 80 years.
But there's a bunch of Slovaks in it, I think, is mostly what it has.
Pretty much it.
The thing that I cannot get sorted out for myself now, and maybe I will by talking about it, is that Slovakia and Slovenia are not next door to each other.
Aren't they? Okay.
They aren't. They're separated by a country or two.
And, okay.
That's another worldal thing that I've, you know, keep guessing, like when it asks what country is bordering the country of the day.
Sure.
And if it's one of those ones kind of in the Balkans, you know, Eastern European area, I will always guess both Slovakia and Slovenia. partly because, you know, other countries they might both be adjacent to.
Sure.
But just because they're both, you know, in that area, yet somehow, how are they not next to each other? With all the Slovs.
You'd think. Question 5 asks us for a Paul Newman film character who's good at egg eating and earned a nickname via a prison poker game.
So this one is one that has made the pop culture rounds a lot. And so I am dismayed to report that this is the thing that I did confuse very much today. I knew this was a sort of Western type of movie. And I remember the eating 35 eggs or whatever, 50. Ridiculous, 50 eggs, a ridiculous number of eggs on a bet, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I thought for some reason, when I think of Paul Newman, I think of Westerns, I think of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. The trouble with this, of course, is that Paul Newman in that film plays Butch Cassidy. And I think I kind of sort of knew that because, you know, Redford was the Sundance Kid. And yet, you know, you have to pick someone who earned a moniker or a nickname, which sounds like you got to put down the Sundance Kid if this is your faulty line of logic like mine was. And so that's what I ended up doing because I just, you know, this is another thing that I haven't quite solidified for myself, that it is from this specific movie versus somewhere in Paul Newman's oeuvre, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I put down the Sundance Kid.
Okay. Yeah, it's Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
The egg thing. I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be about Cool Hand Luke or in Moniker Poker Game. Yeah, okay. And then, yeah, bluffs his way to the pot. You know, it's something like, you had nothing? He said, hey, sometimes nothing can be a real cool hand.
There you go.
And that was that. It wasn't a Western per se. It was modern times or nearly. Certainly 20th century, mid-20th century-ish.
All right.
It has a lot of... it could have been a Western. Like, they very easily could have made it a, you know, in the 1800s and, you know, changed up the outfits and it would have been almost identical. You know, he's arrested in the beginning for cutting the heads off parking meters with a pipe wrench. And they do road repair at some point and that's a thing. Generally speaking, it would have been easy to make it a Western, but
okay.
So yeah, this is Cool Hand Luke, a very good movie, one that I believe we own. Can't see that far.
Well, we better watch it.
But yeah.
I would like to watch it actually. Mm-hmm. That's I know it's a classic, and I'm sure holds up very well. And that was the correct answer, of course. And finally, question six asks us, what ingredient was added to burgers in Oklahoma during the Depression, kind of to fill them out?
So I didn't know this, but I figured, okay, it's going to be like some cheap vegetable probably, or mm-hmm. like maybe some kind of grain, wheat, oats, something like that. And for some reason, the idea of it being a beet, particularly a slice of beet, really kind of just popped into my head. And I just immediately said, yes, that must be it. Partially because the way this question is written, I did not get the idea that the other necessary ingredient was mixed in. So I was kind of thinking like, okay, if you have a very small, very thin burger patty that you just barely have enough kind of to almost spread it more than make it a patty, and then you put something on top of it to at least bulk it up.
Sure.
A slice of beet would be perfect for that.
You could well.
So that was what I went with. I said beet.
Yeah, this is one where, you know, reading about weird historical food trends comes in handy. Because I'm not sure it's only Oklahoma style that does this or did this in that era. But it was a thing at the time to make burgers largely out of chopped up onions. And partly because that's flavorful. You know, if you blend just a little bit of meat in there, it'll still taste, pretty good. And it's just a style that has been used to fill the thing out. And I definitely sort of imputed that based on my own knowledge. It's not really in the question that way. But it kind of, it's interesting that they call it a type of hamburger, because I think sometimes these are even made without meat, that they're just the fried onions kind of packed together in a patty, or smashed together as the question phrases it. And are you familiar with what a smash burger is?
It's a burger patty that gets smashed,
flattened down
with a weight while being cooked. Yeah,
exactly. So it's, I think if you have like a onions and, you know, maybe have some breadcrumbs or something that, you know, helps hold those together, and then just smash flat into a pretty thin, patty or, you know, piece that you can then put on the bun with cheese. But yeah, this is just something I've run across in my reading about these things. Like you see other interesting Depression era recipes. I want to say that carrot cake is one of those things that was, and wartime recipes too, where certain ingredients just aren't as available. So you make do with what you have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, onions were probably inexpensive, relatively flavorful, and, you know, kind of fit into the whole scheme here. So I also put down onion.
And that was correct. Specifically fried onions, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of implied. I don't know if you necessarily fry them ahead of time and then bake them into a burger, or, you know, then kind of squish them together, or if you don't. But yeah, it's kind of interesting because the ingredient is onion, whether you fry it or not, I guess.
So I had five.
Same.
Yeah.
And I at least can hope that something like Cool Hand Luke is seen as a Gen X enough thing, or as a pop culture enough thing that had a little bit of a revival.
Maybe.
With the, 'cause the eggs thing has been made into memes.
Sorry.
It's okay. 'Cause the egg thing has been made into memes, you know, very recently, or relatively, like in the past decade at most.
Every now and then it gets remixed.
Yeah. So I hope that gets a low score for me, and I get some good credit for my geography and, you know, business econ kind of question answering. So here's hoping.
We can but hope. Well, that's it for today. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis. Catch us on Blue Sky at Learned Lag with all the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.